It's great to be here and great to see the good old faces and the new ones. I'm glad to meet the ones who, they said they'd heard my tapes from last year and they were glad to see me in person. Are they in for a treat, huh? I'm better on tape. Yesterday we talked about teaching and how just 5% of our lives is taught in the classroom. 95% is taught by the way we live. Today we're going to go one step further with that. We're going to do personal evangelism for women. Now don't tense up and don't get scared. I'm not signing you up for a campaign today. We're going to do this bit by bit. But we're going to learn that women truly are personal evangelists. In the last two decades, there have been so many major changes in America. Why, we've got people flying jets faster than the Wright brothers would turn over in their graves if they knew about. We've got test tube babies being born in a stainless steel womb now, and you just pick up the phone and say, I'd like my baby delivered on such and such a date, and they'll do it. Because they have previously taken your ovum and your husband's sperm and put it in a frozen bank. If you can't afford for your career to be interrupted, you wait until the best time in your life and then you call up the bank and you say, get it and thaw it out on such and such a day. I want it in 9 months. They have enough specimen from you and your husband both to do that, to see that it takes. They grow it in a stainless steel glass womb. And 9 months later, they're going to call you and say, pick your baby, son or daughter up on such and such a date. That's not that far in the future. It's already being tampered with. We've gone from being a progressive nation in everything you can imagine. But the one thing that bothers me the most about America is that we have gone in 20 years from being heralded as the Christian nation of the world till we are now in all major magazines known as the apathetic nation of the world. We have gone from from being firm on our stand to accepting all lifestyles that don't infringe on the rights of others. We're so absorbed in rights. I have a right. The rights to do this. The rights of children to sue their parents for divorce. That was a new one on me, and that movie just cracked me up. Everybody's got rights. We're so concerned with rights, we're not concerned with morals. Where's the morality in the issue? Well, it's slowly creeping out. We've gone from a nation founded upon in God we trust to the movement of the 60s, God is dead, to the movement of the 80s, big deal, who cares? That's it. I'm okay, you're okay. Big deal, who cares what you think? If it's fine for you, it's fine for you. But now I get to think what I want to. That troubles me. Moral decay is rampant. Our national philosophy seems to be now, if it feels good, do it. Went to Austin, Texas to lobby. Used to be a statewide lecturer against ERA. Went to Austin to lobby one day. I've had everything you can imagine done. I've had homosexuals and lesbians let the air out of my tires. You know, call them threatening. You know, they just really think they can scare you to death. And they don't realize I don't fear them. They can destroy this old body if they want to, but they can't take my soul away from me. But when we went down to Austin to lobby at the state senate, they were everywhere. Their cry is, we're not hurting you. We're not bothering you. Why are you so bugged? You want to be a little housewife? You be a little housewife. We're not bothering you. They are. They want to stand in a classroom and teach my children. They want to stand in a classroom and be given the right to teach sex education. I'll guarantee you I know how they're going to teach it. They are infringing on my moral standards. They want to call it rights. They can use the terminology they want to. America's changing. If it feels good, do it. They use that to apply to everything from hair and clothing styles to homosexual lifestyles. Just like one is the same as the other. You can choose your sex the way you choose your hairstyle. Just as in the days of Noah, there's no standard of judgment used. Each is doing his own thing, or what's right in his own eyes. Genesis 6:5, Deuteronomy 12:8, Judges 17:6, Judges 21:25, Proverbs 12:15. I can name you six more. There's an urgency today. What are we going to do about this? Are we just going to sit back and say, well, now, I'm a Christian. I'll go to heaven if I die. We better think long and hard. Can you go to heaven alone? No man is an island unto himself. No man is an island unto himself. I'm sure you know some of Homer's poetry if you made it through high school. Ode to a Grecian Urn. I am a part of all that I have seen and been. Your children can't live in this world without just a little of it sticking. That's what mothers do. You know, we bathe them at night and clean all that old filth off. You better lay down with them at night and clean some of that filth out that they've heard. We can't live alone in a commune and ignore the plea for morality has got to go back to basic Bible teaching. How are you going to do that if you don't get involved and teach it? The urgent need for evangelism is just as urgent now as it was the 120 years Noah preached. Preached and taught his little heart out. And they kept saying, rain, what's rain? We never heard of such a thing. I'd love to have seen their face when the first drops hit. Why, you know they scratched and clawed on the side of that ark. You know they did. Begged and screamed and cried. But who shut the door? God shut the door. We've got to help mankind. We've got it. There's always the urgency for God's saving message as long as they're sinners. They've been with us since the beginning of time. They'll always be with us. I don't know a woman in her right mind that would say, well, you know, it's just not as urgent today as it used to be. It's more so. It's more so. We need dedicated Christian women who will help us change the spiritual attitude and atmosphere of this nation around. I'm not saying you have to go get a soapbox and put it on your corner and start standing every day from 1:30 to 2:30 and preaching. I'm saying we've got to be more vocal. We've been the silent majority in America long enough. We've got to be more vocal. If we change individuals, we'll change society. Because what is society made of? Individuals. We'll change them. We all agree that the mother sets the tone or the mood for her family. We need godly women to teach women, Titus 2, 3, and 5. We need people to stop ignoring sin, Romans 3, 23. We've been so complacent in the church about saving the lost that we ought to be ashamed. Jim O'Connor was super. Super. We ought to be ashamed. But in the last 10 years, we've been so brainwashed and instructed to believe that now if we're going to grow, we've got to meet their physical needs. Now we've just got to. Now, come on, elders. We need a gymnasium. There's kids in this neighborhood that need a place to go after school. Now, if we could just get them all over here and have a nice gym and play with them. There are people in the world that need to be fed. Now, let's just give them a little discount coupon and get them over here to eat on Wednesday night, and then maybe they'd stay and go to Bible class with us. It's true. These congregations that are doing the social gospel thing, are growing numerically, but they're not growing spiritually. They have the same problem getting people back on Sunday night and Wednesday night, only in a lot greater numbers. They'll get them there on the nights they serve food. But when they stop serving food, where will they go? Maybe they'll find another place that'll serve food a different night. We're not converting the world because we're not using God's standard. We're just allowing the world and the church. We're getting numbers. You allow the world and the church so you can have numbers for statistics, and you're in trouble. We're compromising the old rugged cross and trading it for a new smooth one. Isaiah 30:10, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Saw a sign one time on a little bazaar shop, and it said, cheap crosses. I'm afraid that's what we think sometimes. The cross for me wasn't cheap. It made me mad. My Savior gave His life for my cross. That was my maiden name before I married, and I was so proud of it. I kept it as my middle name. I'm proud of the cross. I'll proclaim it till I die. It's not cheap. He gave His life for me. We've got to understand that. When we get reconvicted and reconverted, we'll tell it. We won't have to have a sign, cheap crosses. We've got to wake up and start teaching the saving message of the world. And it, the saving message, will change people's lives. We may temporarily change behaviors with family life centers, as they're calling them. They abhor you to use the word gymnasium, but that's what it is. Family life centers. We may be converting people to programs of work, but look what happened in the 70s when the big rage was the bus programs. What happened to all the big congregations that bought all the buses? You drive by their parking lots now, and there's for sale signs on all of them, and they're sitting in about one-fifth of that gigantic, huge auditorium they built. The people were converted to the program, not to Christ. We want to convert to Christ and His truths, not fads. That's what's going to free them. John 8:32, John 20:30-31. Change comes from within a person when they're convicted of wrong, not given a work to do to keep them busy. When they're convicted of wrong, I'm a sinner and I need Him. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10. We've been so desensitized by our society. We accept and allow all types of behavior. There's no more black and white, or right or wrong. Everything's just kind of gray matter. And that's what they want you to believe. Well, that's not true. Black is black as it ever was. White is white as it ever was. And never the twain shall meet. It's either right or wrong. We're talking about doctrine, not matters of opinion. Saw a girl in the grocery store one day in halters and short shorts. Our girls see that so much now in our kids and our husbands and our sons that, you know, they just don't even comment it anymore. My husband says, my favorite thing to say is, well, bless her little heart, she just hadn't been taught any better. But that's the truth. 9 times out of 10. Most of those little girls don't do it because they're just rebelling. Why, they're trying to stay cool, and their mama didn't tell them it was indecent. What we ought to say is, bless her little soul, she needs to be taught. But you see, we're just so desensitized. Why, they curse on soap operas, they go to bed with each other, they show them removing their clothes. Now, when used to just allude to it. Let's go into the back room. Now they show them in the back room. You know, we're just desensitized. But we've got to deprogram our minds and realize that the world is hell-bound and lost. Not just kind of, sort of, maybe if, well, I'm not real sure. They are. They're not in the blood-bought church of our Lord, and they're gone. They're gone. Those of us who know that are responsible. We're their only hope. Romans 3:23, Romans 14:23, 1 John 5:17, 1 John 3:4 through 12. I can give you bunches of others. Souls that are separated from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, are dying daily while we stand by idly with the solution. Acts 2:38, Romans, 1 John 3, 5 and 6, and Acts 22:16. You know, if we'll just convert the church, we'll convert the world. We've got to reconvert the church. That's our job in America to do fervently for the next 3 to 5 years. We've got to reconvert the church of our Lord. I love thy church, O God. Her walls before thee stand. But please excuse my absence, Lord. This bed is simply grand. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. But Lord, expect no cash from me. Thy glory comes too high. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Yeah, though I seldom pray, I still insist I am. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, others, Lord, should do their part, but please don't count on me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Loud my hymns of praise I bring because it doesn't cost a thing to sing. That's what we've got in the church today, pew warmers. And 9 times out of 10, they only warm the pew on Sunday morning. We've got to have converted people. How are we going to do that? Most of the women's groups I talk to, there are three major things that come up over and over and over. The most common fears I hear about women doing personal work are, what if I say the wrong thing? I'm just too scared to talk to people. What if I can't answer their questions and they're lost? They're lost anyway. We've got to overcome our fears. We've got to overcome our fears. And just like Jim O'Connor said, the only way you can effectively overcome your fear is constantly doing it. You just get better with practice, constantly doing it. We must realize the world is lost without Christ. Whether you're scared or not, they're still lost. If you don't try, they're lost for sure. If you try and they don't accept you, you're free of their blood. You did your part. That eased me so much when I first learned to do personal work. My daddy got me when I was 15. He believed in getting them young. Sent me on my first campaign and I scared to death. Sick 'em, Patty. Sick 'em how? You'll know what to do. You've studied, you know. You can teach the plan of salvation, just don't be scared and do it. Why, your mouth is so full of cotton, you go to the first door and you think, oh Lord, please don't let them be home. You're scared to death. Then the next house you go to and realize that first lady didn't slam your hand in the door, so maybe the next one won't either. And she's a little bit friendlier too, and you go to the next one, gung-ho. I'm going to teach this lady. Confidence. Confidence by doing. But the one thing my daddy taught me, God bless his soul, is that I didn't convert anybody. Yes, several of us came back with baptisms under our belt, and you talk about higher than a kite. My daddy said, hey, baby, put your feet back on the ground. You didn't convert anybody. You were a tool. I have hammers as cute as you. The Word converted. Sharper than any two-edged sword. That takes the pressure off of you. Don't take it personally. They're not refusing you. They're refusing God's Word. That gave me the confidence to know from then on, I didn't take it personally when they told me no. And I would say, well, maybe later. Maybe there'll be a better time for you. And go back to him later. After three or four times of them saying no, what did Jesus tell the disciples to do? Shake the dirt off their feet. He didn't say go to a room and cry and pray and say, I'm so sorry, I tried the best I could. He said, shake the dirt off the feet and go to the next house. So that helps. Paul told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 7 and verse 9, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, a tool, my daddy's hammer. Neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. For we are laborers together with God. We're God's husbandry. We're God's building. We're co-workers. Isn't that awesome? You get to work with God. Boy, when I used to teach at Christian schools, I had some neat co-workers, but I'll tell you who the neatest one I ever had was. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He's not fickle. He doesn't get upset with you and doesn't walk out of a room. He's always with you. We're responsible for the conversion or change of their heart? No. God is. We just plant the seed. We're responsible for them hearing the word, giving them further instruction, not just dunking them and leaving them. We're responsible for nurturing them, watering. That's what the watering is. I get upset with women who will have PTA ladies or women they've met at the football teams. That's where I get most of my contacts, PTA and the football games with our kids. They'll baptize them and leave them. Don't do that. Who's going to water? You've got to water. I'd like to know what your plants look like if you never water them. No, you stay with them sometimes a year or two. No, that's your protege in the faith. I'm with one lady now going on the third year, but she has a lot of hindrances at home, and I may be with her five. But I just can't leave her yet. She doesn't have a great enough root system. She's got to have water, fertilizer, and the whole bit. That's what Paul's talking about. We're God's tool. But you don't have to get scared. You don't have to do this all in one whack. Rome wasn't built in a day. Step by step. He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day, but step by step my paths unfold. My Lord directs the way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute. But he will say, this is the way by faith. Now walk ye in it. And I am glad that it is so. Today's enough to bear. So when tomorrow comes, his grace shall far exceed the care. What need to worry then or fret? The God who gave his son holds all my moments in his hand and dishes them out one by one. That's why we can do it, bit by bit. You don't get a new Christian up out of the water and say, now I have a ladies' class I'd love for you to teach, and it's on the book of Revelation. I know women in their 80s that wouldn't teach it. Step by step. That's how you grow. That's how you help the new Christians grow. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That comes step by step too. You don't drive by their house a week after they're baptized and say, I saw you in your front yard and you were watering your grass and you had on shorts. Has no one told you you don't do that? You're a Christian. You have an example to put forth. No, you teach them and they grow and they'll pack their own shorts away, busybody. You teach them and they grow. Step by step. The main attitude that will get rid of fear of talking to people about Christ and God. You know, we can share recipes. We can talk to PTA women and we can eat lunch with them. And we can do the best rip-roaring fundraiser for the school you've ever seen. We can go in the doctor's office. And my little one was sick a lot, so we camped out in room 5. And I met women there that had the same problem with their children. Loved talking with them. Really got to know them. Found out about their husbands, what they did, because we were there a lot. Their other children, what their names were. You start talking about the church with them, and they listen. They're not going to go, well, what do you want to talk about that for? They're not going to do that to you. And if they do, just say, because I've just really fallen in love with you. I think you're neat. Why can't we tell people we really like them? We really have a concern for them. Why can't we tell them? They're not going to think you're a lesbian. You were also afraid to touch. You know, don't hug me in public. I had a woman tell me, she said, you know, the first time I met you, you scared me to death. But I was raised in a family where you touch and hug and kiss. I was raised in a congregation where you touch and hug and kiss. She said, you know, I wasn't sure about you. I said, well, I'm sorry. Don't be afraid. Happiness is contagious. It truly is. If you've got a love for that lost soul that's stronger than your fear is going to subside. Whichever emotion is that's the strongest is going to take over. That's just how it works. If your love for that lost soul is stronger than your fear, perfect love cast out fear, 1 John, it's going to take over. Remember, step by step, not all in one whack. You don't pray one night on your knees, get up and say, Billy Graham, watch out. Step by step. Step by step. Pray about your concern for lost souls. Pray about it fervently. Prepare to evangelize. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. God will supply your needs. Let him know what your needs are. God, help me get rid of this fear. That is my need. I've got to get rid of the fright. Help me. Women don't sit down to make a dress without a pattern. I'd like to see one I'd make without a pattern. Now, my sister used to lay her kids down on newspaper trays around them and make something. She's creative. I am not. Sometimes I can't follow a pattern to it. I don't make a cake without a recipe unless it's one I've made over and over and over. And then I'll catch myself checking it to make sure. Now, was that 2/3 a cup or 3/4 a cup? Prepare. You don't just become a personal worker overnight. You prepare. You prepare. I want you to know that all the things we're going to say about teaching the lost apply to returning the erring sister. That's one of my things. We need to spend as much time returning the erring because the fires of hell will be hotter for them that knew it and turned away from it than didn't know it. So I want us to know that everything I say from now on is applied to both. The lost in either condition, never been a Christian, or an erring, unfaithful Christian. James 5:20, 2 Peter 2:20 and 21. There are six things I believe that we need to do to prepare to be a faithful, faithful person that is equipped to study with people. Number one is obvious. Study, study, study. I don't have time. I have six small kids, serve on the PTA board, teach a Bible class. I don't have time. You do too. You have just as much time as anybody else does. You have 24 hours in the day, just like everybody else. Now, you may not budget your time, and there may be things you need to cut out that aren't as important. There are things you may need to cut back. But you need to study daily. You need to give God peak time, just like we talked about yesterday. Whichever time of the day that is for you, do it. Study. Get yourself a little recipe card holder. Get you a stack of 3x5 cards. Start out with the plan of salvation. Memorize 2 scriptures for each step of the 6 steps. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, live faithfully. Put the verse on the front and where it's found on the back. And you've got time. You may be waiting in the doctor's office to see somebody, to see your doctor. Now, if you've got your kids with you, you're probably chasing them. But you've got times where you can sit down and review those. Keep them in a baggie in your purse. Go over and over and over. Equip yourself with the plan of salvation. do that? Well, I try reading my Bible, but I fall asleep. I don't know. I hate to say this, Miss Searles, but it's kind of boring. You wouldn't believe how much I hear that. Not from people in the world. From people in the church. I just can't weed through it. I can't get interested. And I ran across this little article, so I use it a lot. The story is told of a young woman who started a book which she decided was boring and uninteresting, and she returned it to the bookshelf quickly. She left on a cruise, and while she was there, she met a young man in whom she became very interested. She recalled that his name and the name on that book were the same. She asked him had he authored the book, and he replied, "Yes, I've written the book." Upon returning home, she began to read the book, fascinated with every word, not putting it down until she had finished it. The difference was that she had fallen in love with the author. Read your Bible, and as you fall in love with God and His Son Jesus, your excitement and your zeal of study will increase, and your intensity of dedication will grow and grow. I didn't want you to say that. We need to be prepared always to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. 1 Peter 3:15. We've got to study. 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Keep a spiral notebook. Make a commentary on your studies. When you're in doubt about how did that go, flip back to your notes, and then you'll remember better. You remember about 50% of what you read over the years. You remember and retain 85% of what you see and write down in your own handwriting. There is a coordination of the nerve endings when you write it and think it at the same time. The convolution or the crease on your brain is deeper than it is if you just read it. That's a fact. You've got to study. Repetition is the key. Go over and over and over it. Do the plan of salvation first. Then do the ones that edify and exhort. Keep them all together and review them, and you'll be surprised you're going to remember them. The more you go over them, the more you're going to remember them. Everybody's got time. It's just what you do with it. So you're sitting at school, and you got there a little early, and you thought you were, and your kid isn't going to be out for 15 minutes. Take your little baggie out with your cards and go over them. Life itself can't give you joy unless you really will it. Life just gives you time and space. It's up to you to fill it. That's the same for you, and it's the same for me. We all have the same amount. We all seem to manage to watch TV. Most mothers use it as a babysitter. I'm guilty of that sometimes when I'm real busy. But as adults, is it our babysitter? Do we get more enjoyment out of a good old movie than we do out of God's Word? On the table side by side, the Holy Bible and the TV guide. One is well worn but cherished with pride. No, not the Bible, but the TV guide. One is used daily to keep folk, to help folk decide. No, it isn't the Bible, it's a TV guide. As pages are turned, what shall they see? Oh, what does it matter? Just turn on the TV. Then confusion reigns. They can't all agree on what they shall watch on the old TV. So they open the book in which they confide. No, not the Bible, the TV guide. The Word of God is seldom read, maybe a verse ere they fall into bed, exhausted and sleepy and tired as can be. From reading the Bible? No, from watching TV. Is that your home? You know, that's food for thought. It shouldn't be in a Christian's home. It should not be the focal point of your home. It just shouldn't be. I hate that boob tube. It has done more to ruin families in the church than anything has. And the devil loves it. And the second thing is credit cards, but that's a wholly different story. Two, study. Two, have a burning desire to save souls. Burning desire. You're not going to have that burning desire unless you study and know that God tells you they need it. This desire comes from the deep conviction that they're lost, Acts 4:20. Pray for the lost. Pray for the lost daily. Keep it fresh on your mind. We've got the solution to sin. Share it. Lord, may I touch with soft caresses a soul who seeks your tenderness. Lord, let me speak in gentle tones to cheer someone who stands alone. Lord, let me work to plant your seed, bring forth harvest to meet the need of troubled soul who is nearby. Oh, tune my ears to hear their cry. I pray, O Lord, I may be used to lift the fallen and love the bruised. There are souls adrift on troubled sea. Here I am, O Lord, send me. It could be that PTA lady that sits beside you all the time. It could be the precious little mother with three little stair steps that you see every Sunday morning but never see her again till the next Sunday morning. She may need you. She may need you to edify and teach her. Pray about it. Have the burning desire that you're going to convert somebody in 85. That you're going to be a tool for Christ. You're going to see that somebody's taught the truth. Now, whether they believe it or not, that's up to them. But you're going to see that somebody's taught. Pray about your attitude and fears. That's three. God understands. Pray. When you pray, mentally think of the acrostic of the word acts, A-C-T-S. One, adoration. Always give God the adoration, majesty he deserves. Two, confess your sins. Make me worthy to be a soul winner for you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm going to try not to do those same things again. T, thanksgiving. Thank you for Jesus Christ who died and gave me the chance to have salvation. Now let me share it. S, supplication. That's asking for your needs. Please help me overcome this fear. Help me be brave enough not to be so tongue-tied. Help me just say it. When you pray about soul winning, think of that. Acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession of your own sins, thanksgiving for the death of Christ, and supplication. Pray for your needs. Help me. Help me to retain what I flipped through those little cards on. Help me not be so scared. Four, know assuredly that God is on your side. Romans 8:31, Philippians 4:13 and 19. Determination, commitment to God and souls. God is on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? So maybe they won't like you and ask you back to the next tea. Big deal. That's just another morning spending home with the kids. 1980 Winter Olympics. A misfit little U.S. hockey team. Everybody said, "Aw, those are men. I don't know why they brought them to the Olympics." You know, some of them didn't even make the college teams. Never played in high school hockey. I don't know what the deal is. Commitment and determination. They won the whole schmear that year. They called them the team of the misfits and rejects. They beat the Soviets, the Czechs, the Swedes, and the Finns. Ask them how, and they said, "We're dedicated to win." Be dedicated to win souls. Five, choose a method of teaching you're comfortable with. I was going to put part of it in my lesson, but I've just got about 3 minutes as it is in it. There is a real easy, simple way to teach someone that has no Bible background the plan of redemption. I can teach it to you in about an hour and a half, and you can turn right around and teach it. My fifth and sixth graders can do it. It's using a Bible timeline. I don't care if you're schooled in the Old Testament or not. I guarantee you after an hour and a half, you can do it. And if you want me to, and I have time before I fly out, I'll do it with you. It's easy. You can do it. Find a method that works for you. Just either studying the Bible, Jill Miller Fem Strips, Open Bible Method, Marked Bible Method. Whatever you're comfortable with, use it. Whatever the situation calls for, use it. But sixth and last of all, don't keep putting it off. Don't just keep putting it off. If you keep putting it off, souls are dying and you're doing nothing about it. Men are crying for the truth. Oh, dear God and Father, you are sufficient to my being. You're my only eyes for seeing. You're sufficient not only for me. You sent your Son to set the world free. God, Holy Father, I've seen you through your Son who loves all, excluding none. He's the way, the truth, the life. He alone calms inner strife. Creator, Father, I submit to your holy will. I'll spread the good news, working until my Savior returns victoriously, leading me home for eternity. God, loving Father, lead me into a service to do, one that will bring great glory to you. Guide all your children abroad and afar. Help us be missionaries right where we are. It's time we wake up. Don't be fearful and ignorant of the Scripture. Share them. That's the book that'll be opened on Judgment Day. Set your mind on winning the lost. Set your mind on Christ. And I'll tell you one thing, the devil will shake in his boots. But do it. That's the sixth and strongest part. Do it. Make up your mind and do it. It isn't the things you do, dear. It's the things you leave undone that give you a bit of a heartache at the setting of the sun. The tender words forgotten, the letter you forgot to write, the flowers you didn't send, dear, they're your haunting ghost at night. The stone you might have lifted out of a brother's way, the bit of heartsome counsel you were too hurried to say, the loving touch of the hand, dear, the gentle winning tone, which you had no time nor thought for, you had troubles of your own. Those little acts of kindness so easily out of mind, those chances to be angels which we mortals seldom find. They come in night and silence, each sad, reproachful wraith, when hope is faint and flagging and a chill has fallen on fate. For life is all too short, dear, and sorrow is all too great to suffer our slow compassion that tarries until too late. It isn't the things you do, dear. It's the things you leave undone that give you a bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. Isn't that true of us women in the church? It's like Jim O'Connor said, you're not going to stumble over a drunk in this class. Sins of omission. Don't put it off. Win a soul in 85.